Imagine lighting the bottom edge of a piece of paper on fire.
Okay, yeah, I can picture that.
You might think the line of burning embers would just move up the page evenly, you know, like a ruler.
Right, like a perfectly straight line.
Exactly. But it doesn't do that at all. It surges forward in some spots, it lags behind in others, and it just crackles with this absolute unpredictable chaos.
It's totally jagged.
Right. And today, we are looking at a brand new mathematical breakthrough that actually measures that exact chaos.
And, well, even more incredibly, it proves that the shape of that initial spark dictates the entire future of the
It
fire.
really does. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are just thrilled to have you with us for this audio overview.
We've got a really fascinating one today.
We do. Our mission today is to decode a highly technical, brand new 2026 mathematics preprint. It's by Lishen and Juan J. Jimenez from Auburn
Yeah,
University.
and the paper is titled Spatial Covariance of KPZ from Flat Initial Profile.
Now, I know. I know spatial covariance of KPZ sounds like just an impenetrable wall of academic jargon.
It really does. It sounds incredibly dense.
But we were taking this stack of dense mathematical formulas and we're translating it into a fascinating story.
A story about how things grow, right?
Exactly. How distant points in space interact and how the starting conditions of a system just completely rewrite its future.
And you really don't need a PhD in advanced probability to appreciate the profound beauty of what these researchers just proved.
Not at all. Think of it as like a mathematical detective story. Okay, let's unpack this. Before we get to the massive breakthrough, we need to understand the playing field.
Right, we need to lay the groundwork.
So the title mentions the KPZ equation. What exactly is this? And I mean, what are these researchers actually trying to measure here?
Well, to understand the playing field, we really have to talk about what physicists call a growing
A
interface.
growing interface. Okay.
Yeah. The KPZ equation, which is named after these physicists Kardar, Parisi, and Zhang from back in the 1980s, it's essentially the universal blueprint for how borders expand in a chaotic environment.
So, like the burning paper.
Exactly like the burning paper. Or another great example is a bacterial colony expanding in a petri dish.
Oh,
Or
right.
even frost rapidly creeping across a freezing window pane.
I love that one. I'm picturing the frost on the window right now.
Right, so the KPZ equation models that exact kind of jagged, relentless growth by combining three competing forces.
Okay, wait. What are the three forces fighting over how that frost grows?
So first, you have a smoothing effect.
Like melting.
Kind of. Think of it like surface tension or heat diffusion. It's a force that constantly tries to flatten the edge out, acting like a microscopic steamroller.
A microscopic steamroller trying to keep things even.
Oh,
Got it.
God.
What's the second force?
Second, you have lateral growth.
Lateral, so sideways.
Yeah, because the frost doesn't just grow straight up, right? It grows outward, perpendicular to its own microscopic slopes.
Okay.
And that naturally causes the hills to widen and the little valleys to fill in.
Okay, so the steamroller is flattening, the lateral growth is pushing it outward. What's the third one?
The third ingredient is the disruptor. It's space-time white noise.
Ah, the randomness.
Exactly.
So that's the unpredictable sparks in the fire, or like the microscopic impurities on the window pane that cause the frost to just jump forward randomly.
That is the core conflict right there.
The jackhammer versus the steamroller.
Yes, the white noise acts like this relentless jackhammer, constantly roughing up the edge, while the diffusion acts like the steamroller trying to smooth it back down.
And they are just constantly fighting.
Constantly,
Yeah.
this perpetual tug of war creates a highly complex, infinitely fluctuating surface.
Okay, so where does the spatial covariance come in?
Right, so what mathematicians have been obsessing over is trying to calculate this exact property spatial covariance at a fixed point in time.
Let's ground that term, spatial covariance, back in that frosty window pane analogy.
Sure.
If I measure the microscopic height of the frost at one specific spot on the glass, let's just call that point zero, and then I move my magnifying glass way down the window to a completely different distance spot. Let's
Right.
call that point X.
Okay, point zero and point X.
Spatial covariance is asking how mathematically correlated are those two heights?
Right.
Like, if the frost is surging forward at point zero, what are the odds it's also surging forward at point X?
What's fascinating here is that mathematicians have long known that as point X gets farther and farther away from point zero, the correlation between them eventually fades away.
They stop sharing information.
Exactly. They become completely independent. But the Holy Grail has been figuring out the exact formula for how it fades.
The actual rate of decay.
Right. What is the underlying mechanism and what is the precise mathematical rate of that decay?
So we have this massive mathematical divide. Distant points on a growing surface eventually lose their connection.
They do.
But to understand how that connection breaks, this new paper reveals we actually have to look all the way back to how the system started.
We have to look at the very beginning.
The paper argues that the initial shape, like the starting line of the growth, dictates absolutely everything about how distant points connect later on.
It changes the entire mathematical landscape.
But I have to admit, I'm struggling with that a bit.
How so?
Well, I mean, if two points on this window pane are infinitely far apart, shouldn't their correlation just be zero, regardless of how the frost started?
That's what you would think.
Right. Because if they are separated by miles of chaotic white noise, they shouldn't influence each other at all. Are you saying the starting shape bridges that massive gap?
That is exactly the intuitive trap, and it's why this breakthrough is just so important.
Okay, untrap me.
To see why distant points still communicate, we have to contrast the two fundamental starting geometries for the KPZ equation.
The two ways the fire can start.
Right. The first is called the narrow wedge start, which we can really just think of as a droplet.
A droplet. And the second?
The second is the flat start.
Okay, let's take the droplet first. This means the frost doesn't start everywhere at the bottom of the window all at once?
No, it doesn't.
It starts from, like, a single microscopic speck of dust.
Yes. A single, infinitely tiny singularity. Think of it like a single drop of ink hitting paper and then bleeding outward.
Okay, I can visualize that.
In a previous mathematical breakthrough, these researchers named Yugu and Fei Pu analyzed this droplet start.
And what did they find?
They found that as your two points, point zero and point X, get further apart, the correlation between them fades surprisingly slowly.
Slowly?
Yeah, it exhibits what we call polynomial decay. Specifically, the correlation fades at a rate proportional to the time elapsed divided by the absolute distance between them.
In math terms, that's t over the absolute value of x.
Exactly.
So it's a slow fade, meaning the connection between point zero and point x stubbornly survives across vast distances.
It hangs on much longer than you'd expect.
Why, though? What is the actual mechanism keeping them mathematically tied together if they're so far apart?
It all comes down to the microscopic paths of growth.
The paths the frost takes.
Yeah. In statistical mechanics, we picture this growth not just as a solid wall moving up, but as billions of individual microscopic paths. We call them directed polymers.
Directed polymers, okay.
These polymers are constantly reaching out through space and time, trying to find like the most efficient route through that chaotic landscape of white noise.
So each tiny piece of frost is essentially tracing its own unique jagged path up the window.
Precisely. Now, think about the geometry of that droplet start we just talked about.
The single dot.
Right. No matter how far apart point zero and point X are at the end of the day, if you trace their microscopic paths backward in time.
Oh, every single polymer is forced into a massive bottleneck.
Yes. They all have to originate from that exact same microscopic starting dot.
Oh, I see. Because they are pinned to the same origin, they are essentially mathematical cousins.
That's a perfect way to put it.
They were born in the exact same microscopic patch of space-time white noise.
And that shared infancy is everything. Because they have a macroscopic overlap at the very beginning of time, they experienced the exact same random fluctuations when they were first born.
And that creates a memory.
A lingering mathematical memory, exactly. It's a correlation that just refuses to disappear completely, even when the points drift miles apart later on.
So, if we use our real-world lens for a second.
Sure.
A droplet start is like a system where a virus originates in one single patient zero.
Oh, I like this.
Right. Even if the virus spreads to two completely different continents, if you sequence the genetics in both places, you'll find a slow, lingering correlation because they both bottleneck through that exact same person on day one.
That is a brilliant way to frame it. The shared origin forces a mathematical connection.
Okay, but now let's look at the flat start.
Right, because this is where Chen and Jimenez introduced theorem 1.1 of their paper.
What happens if, instead of starting from a single dot, our burning paper is ignited perfectly evenly across the entire bottom edge all at once?
Well, what does your instinct tell you?
My instinct tells me that if the starting line is a flat playing field, The paths don't have that bottleneck anymore. There's no patient zero.
They don't. And for a flat initial profile, Chen and Jimenez proved that the correlation decays incredibly fast.
So it's not the slow polynomial fade anymore.
Not at all. It shifts completely away from that slow fade, and it exhibits what is called Gaussian decay.
Gaussian decay.
Yeah. The correlation plummets exponentially. It's governed by a very specific formula proportional to e raised to the power of negative x squared over 4t.
Wow.
It is a completely different mathematical universe.
Gaussian decay just drops off a cliff. It's brutal.
It is brutal.
But what is the actual mechanism making it drop so fast? Why does a flat starting line kill the correlation between distant points?
Well, think about the paths again. Without the bottleneck, the paths arriving at point zero and the paths arriving at point X originate from totally separate, widely divided regions on that flat starting line.
They don't share a hometown.
Exactly. They are strangers in a massive city. For those two paths to have ever crossed and shared the same white noise, one of them would have had to drift sideways across an enormous distance.
And what causes them to drift sideways in the first place?
The white noise.
Actually, no, it's the diffusion.
Steamroller.
Right, the steamroller. Yep. Heat kernel diffusion essentially causes the paths to randomly walk left and right as they grow upward.
Okay.
But diffusion is inherently a Gaussian process.
Meaning it follows a bell curve.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the odds of a path randomly wandering across a massive horizontal distance just to bump into another path are astronomically low.
So the only way they share history is by pure random diffusion across vast spaces, which is incredibly rare.
Yes, their shared history is mediated entirely by the heat kernel, and that imprints that steep exponential Gaussian factor directly onto the correlation.
That makes so much sense.
In fact, this directly mirrors a known dichotomy in probability theory between two famous mathematical limit processes.
Oh, really? Which ones? The droplet start corresponds to the Airy 2 process, which has slow decay, and the flat start corresponds to the Airy 1 process, which has incredibly fast decay.
And Chen and Jimenez proved this applies here.
Yes, they have rigorously proved this dichotomy exists at the fixed time level for the KPZ equation itself.
This dichotomy is totally fascinating. But I mean, it brings us to a huge structural question about the paper.
Okay, what's that?
To rigorously prove that a flat start forgets its past so quickly, you can't just look at the final messy, frosty window.
Bro, you can't.
You have to mathematically rewind time to the exact moment the frost touched the glass. How did these researchers build a mathematical time machine?
They employed a strategy detailed in section 5 of their paper. It's called the boundary layer approach.
Boundary layer.
And to execute it, they had to use some incredibly heavy mathematical machinery.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
The paper references Malleven calculus and the Clark-O'Cone representation.
Yes, they do.
Now, I know we aren't going to ask anyone to solve stochastic calculus equations in their heads right now.
No, definitely not.
But we need a way to visualize what the Clark-O'Cone representation actually does.
Okay, think of the Clark-O'Cone representation as an absolute, uncompromising audit of chaos.
An audit of chaos. I love that.
If you look at the jagged edge of the frost at the end of the day, it's the result of millions of random events, right?
Millions of tiny jackhammer strikes.
Exactly. Clark-O'Cone allows a mathematician to take the final height of that interface and systematically trace every single millimeter of its fluctuation back to the specific microscopic spark of white noise that caused it.
So it's basically an itemized receipt for randomness.
That is exactly what it is.
It tells you exactly which random bump at exactly which millisecond caused the final shift.
Yes. And by using this itemized receipt, Chen and Jimenez were able to prove something highly counterintuitive about time and distance.
Counterintuitive how?
They proved that as the distance between point zero and point X approaches infinity, the vast majority of the time elapsed contributes absolutely nothing to their correlation.
Wait.
The later stages of growth are completely mathematically independent.
Wait, I really need to stop you there.
Go ahead.
If the later stages of growth contribute absolutely nothing, then almost the entire lifespan of this frost creeping up the window is mathematically irrelevant to their connection.
Yes.
That feels completely backwards. Are you saying all the shared information is front-loaded?
It is entirely front-loaded. They proved that the only meaningful correlation comes from a microscopic fraction of time, right at the very beginning of the growth process.
How microscopic are we talking?
Well, they defined a boundary layer of time, denoted as S, which is bounded by the inverse square of the distance between the points.
Okay, let's translate that math.
Yeah.
So bounded by the distance raised to the -2 plus epsilon.
Right.
So as the distance between the two points grows, the window of time where they can actually influence each other shrinks exponentially.
It shrinks down to almost nothing.
If the points are incredibly far apart, their only chance to connect happen in the first millisecond after the frost touched the glass.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it explains why isolating this tiny window of time was so crucial.
Because they needed to measure it.
Exactly. To calculate the exact mathematical constant of this correlation, to find the actual number that multiplies that Gaussian decay, they had to isolate a future-only profile.
Future-only profile.
Yeah, they had to mathematically sever the noise of the very beginning from the noise of the rest of time.
And to achieve that severing, the paper mentions they used a technique called shear mixing for space-time white noise.
Shear mixing, yeah.
Now, shear mixing sounds like, I don't know, a setting on an industrial blender. What are they actually blending here?
They aren't blending at all, actually. They are violently skewing the coordinate system.
Skewing it?
Yeah. Think of shear mixing like taking a massive deck of cards that is perfectly sorted by suit and throwing it aggressively against the wall.
Okay, a mess.
Right. By shearing or skewing the space-time landscape by a large enough amount, which corresponds to looking at points that are very far apart, you force any lingering patterns in the white noise to mathematically disconnect from one another.
So you're aggressively skewing the space so that the red cards and black cards of noise are mathematically forced apart.
Exactly.
Leaving you with a clean slate to measure from.
Exactly that. By applying this shear mixing to their isolated future-only profile, they were able to nail down the exact leading constant for the flat correlation.
That is incredible.
They proved that this constant is explicitly tied to the inverse moments of the solution to the stochastic heat equation at a single stationary coordinate.
It's a beautiful bridge between the macro behavior of the system across infinite space and the micro fluctuations happening at a single point.
It really is an elegant solution.
It is a stunning piece of mathematical detective work. But Chen and Jimenez didn't stop at proving the Gaussian decay for the flat star.
No, they pushed it even further.
They went further and solved a highly specific lingering mystery within this field. And they did it with a level of precision that you, frankly, rarely see.
Which is very rare.
I want us to look at Theorem 1.3 from the paper. In advanced probability, you're normally dealing with bounds, right?
Mostly.
A researcher will say, the answer is definitely somewhere between this ugly equation and this other ugly equation.
Right, you get a range.
But here, they found a clean, exact, closed-form equation for the second moment of something called the normalized Green's function.
Yeah. To understand why Theorem 1.3 is so satisfying, we have to talk about what the Green's function actually does.
Okay.
Remember those directed polymers? The microscopic paths trying to find a route through the white noise?
Yes, the frost paths.
The Green's function is essentially the master scorecard. It tallies up the energy cost of every single possible route a path could take through that chaotic landscape.
So it's the master equation that dictates how the paths behave under pressure.
Yes. But the researchers looked at the normalized Green's function.
Why normalize it?
Normalizing it essentially strips away the predictable deterministic effects of that steamroller diffusion.
Oh, it removes the smoothing effect.
Right. And what that leaves you with is a pure, unadulterated measure of the free energy fluctuations.
So it isolates the pure chaotic effect of the white noise on the end of the path.
Exactly. Now, for years, researchers knew this normalized Green's function had bounded moments.
Meaning the fluctuations didn't just spiral off into infinity.
Right, but finding the exact precise formula for its variance at second moment was an unsolved puzzle.
And in this 2026 preprint, they cracked the puzzle.
They did.
The mechanism they used is called a Volterra integral equation.
Yes. The Volterra equation is vital here because of how it operates. It's a specific type of equation where the unknown function appears inside an integral.
Which means what, conceptually?
You can think of it as a mathematical feedback loop.
Oh, like holding a microphone too close to a speaker. The sound goes in, comes out, and feeds right back into itself.
That's a great analogy. The Volterra integral captures how the randomness of the past continually feeds into the randomness of the present.
Right.
And by grinding through the Malievin calculus within this feedback loop, Chen and Jimenez pin down the exact unique solution for the variance.
And the solution they found is remarkably elegant.
It really is.
It's a closed-form formula that involves the standard normal cumulative distribution function, the Gaussian CDF.
Which is amazing.
That is the classic fundamental bell curve that you learn about in Statistics 101.
Exactly. Out of this incredibly complex, infinitely dimensional chaos of space-time white noise emerges this perfectly clean formula tied to the most fundamental distribution and probability.
It's mind-blowing.
They didn't just approximate the chaos, they defined its exact parameters.
It's like sweeping away a mountain of jagged, chaotic rocks and finding a perfectly polished, mathematically pure sphere underneath.
It is an incredibly precise mathematical bow tied around the wild randomness of the KPZ equation.
It truly is a testament to the power of the tools they employed.
By proving both the exact Gaussian decay of the flat profile and the closed-form moment of the Green's function, this paper fills in major missing pieces in our understanding of universal scaling limits.
So what does this all mean?
Wow.
We started by talking about the unpredictable edge of a burning piece of paper. And we ended up doing an audit of chaos through infinite dimensional calculus.
It's a journey.
But the core story here is about how our origins fundamentally lock in our long-term connections.
Yes.
We learned that if a system starts from a single shared point, a droplet that shared microscopic history forces distant outcomes to stay bound together,
creating a slow, lingering connection across vast distances.
But if a system starts on an even, flat playing field, the paths of growth are isolated strangers.
Strangers in a city.
That flat start allows for almost total independence, forcing any correlation to drop off an exponential cliff into near-zero probability. The geometry of the starting line is destiny.
This raises an important question for you to mull over as we finish.
What's that?
The math we discussed today is deeply theoretical, right? It governs universal limits.
Right.
But think about real-world macroscopic systems that mimic this kind of chaotic interface growth.
Like what?
Well, we mentioned the spread of a virus. But you could also apply this to the ripple effect of an economic collapse across global markets.
Oh, absolutely.
Both are systems driven by a mix of predictable diffusion and completely random noise.
So if a flat start forces systems to disconnect instantly, while a droplet start forces them to stay intertwined.
Ask yourself, how does that impact our predictive models?
That is a huge question.
If the mathematical difference between starting as a single localized dot versus a flat, widespread line completely changes how distant parts of a system interact, shifting from a slow polynomial connection to a rapid Gaussian disconnect, can we ever build a reliable model?
I mean, if we can't perfectly measure the exact microscopic geometry of how a viral outbreak or an economic panic started,
can we ever truly predict how far and how fast the distant edges of that event will spread?
It really makes you look at that jagged edge of the burning paper or the frost creeping across the window in a completely new light.
It's not just random static.
No, it's a perfect physical memory of exactly how the very first spark was struck. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.